The scripture reading for this morning you can find in the New Testament, in the Epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The word of the Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, then there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus far the reading of God's word. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the Apostle Paul in verse 11 of the chapter that we have read together this morning, Romans 5. Joy! Now, nowadays, when you visit a health clinic, sometimes one of the first questions you are asked, do you feel anxious about a lot of things? Have you been worrying for the past 6 months? Are you feeling restless, easily tired, trouble concentrating, trouble with sleeping? Do you feel depressed? I think, congregation, it is not an overstatement that in our postmodern culture is marked by joylessness. A society that is marked by stress and anxiety and worries. Well, joy is fundamental to our existence and well-being. True joy. It is one of the purposes of your and my life. So the Westminster Catechism reminds us. What is the chief purpose for which man is made? The chief purpose for which man is made is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We were created for enjoyment, to rejoice, to have joy. It is one of the practices or experiences of the new life, spiritual life. So the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us, I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. To have this sincere joy of heart in God through Christ. And congregation, true joy is one of the foremost results of preaching. Gospel preaching. As Isaiah in chapter 61 captured that so well, when the good news, the gospel is brought, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give liberty those in captive, comfort for all who mourn. What more? Joy instead of mourning. Why then, congregation, do conservative, confessional, reformed people have the reputation of being joyless? How do you account for the fact that Calvinism has this reputation as a relatively joyless tradition? Well, Scripture is full of joy, commended as a part of the Christian life. And therefore the question this morning for all of us, do you have joy? Joy in your life. And to reflect on that first, we look to Scripture, what joy is, our first point. What is joy? Because joy is a frequent theme in Scripture that is consistently associated with salvation. As you will see in the Psalms and the Prophets and the Gospels and Paul's Epistles. In the book of Psalms, joy is a response of gratitude to God's saving work. Psalm 32, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy all that are upright in heart. Psalm 35, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. And Psalm 95, O come to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come with gratitude, with thanksgiving into His presence. And make a joyful noise with psalms. The book of the prophets. For example, in Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, that is just the reason. With joy, you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. or like Jeremiah. In chapter 31, where the Lord delivers his people from distress. And the response is, then shall the virgin rejoice in dance. Both young men and all together, for I, says the Lord, will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Joy is thus a response of a God-given salvation, of God's deliverance. And going to the Gospels, for example, in the Gospel of John, joy is often related to the union with Christ. For example, John 15, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, union with Christ, that your joy might be full. And last not but least, we find a theme of joy in Paul's epistles, joining often joy and peace together on several occasions as the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, the epistles of to the Philippians, the epistle of joy, 4 chapters only, but the apostle records at least 16 times the word joy, as he mentioned the word Christ many more times, because joy is found in Christ. It is part and parcel of the Christian experience. And therefore in Galatians, we find that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And so we see it in the epistle to the Romans as well. Romans 15, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Romans 12, rejoice in hope. And so in our text chapter, Romans 5, verse 2, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And verse 11, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dus wat is joy as we find it in Scripture? Congregation, first, joy. There is joy in the freeness of God's salvation. Joy comes from God, it is a gift, as salvation is God's gift. And therefore the psalmist in Psalm 4 can sing, thou hast put joy, gladness in my heart, for thou alone, O Lord, dost make me dwell in safety. Secondly, there is a joy in Christ to accomplish salvation, full and free. And therefore our text chapter says in verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore there is joy in God through Christ for his present care and his providence and his preparation for future glory. As our text chapter said in verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you have this joy? Do you have this joy? As Horatius Bonar once wrote, I praise the God of grace. I trust his truth and might. He calls me his. I call him my God, my joy and light. Joy. C.S. Lewis writes, joy is the serious business of heaven. And therefore this morning, Do not walk away from the mirror of God's word and forget what that word teaches us to do in life. To be doers of the word. Doers of joy and not hearers only. That is the invitation this morning. To have, to experience joy in your life. Because congregation, we greatly need it. Our second thought, why we need joy. First congregation, by nature we have lost all joy. And never step over that. We have read it together this morning in Romans 5. Our text chapter, while we were yet sinners, verse 8, under the wrath of God, verse 9, where we were enemies, verse 10, verse 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so verse 18 concludes, therefore by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. In fact, the preceding chapters of Romans 1 to 3 makes it very clear we utterly miss joy. And read, for example, chapter 3, verse 9 to 18. It is our portrait by nature, completely joyless. Our portrait, there is no one righteous. There is no one that understands. There is no one by nature that seeks after God and the peace and the way of peace we have not known. Congregation, do you see the great need? Created for joy. And we choose sin and sorrow. Death, not life. Living outside paradise, living outside Christ, do you see your great need of joy? For all the miseries we have plunged ourselves in. Secondly, why we need it? Times of hardship, trials, suffering in your life. The constant juggling of finances, maybe for young people, college debt, your life's struggles, your doubts, sporadic spurts of joy, maybe the absence of joy in your marriage or relationships or work, maybe depression, burdens, and it seems too heavy to bear. When you feel at loss and lost your purpose. I read of someone who wrote, I had everything, a home, a loving spouse, two beautiful daughters, financial security. For years this life was welcomed. My life was uncomfortably predictable. I know what was going to happen next in every moment of every day. But over time, I felt at loss. Lost purpose, lost in the midst of marriage and business of life, I became depressed. Maybe there are some among us times of when sorrow grips and presses and oppresses and brings pain to the heart. When it seems that the darkness does not lift. Times that you begin to understand the psalmist in 61. From the end of the earth will I cry to thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It brings me to the third reason why we need this God-given joy. As you read in Psalm 51, when David cries to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore. Because he knew of this joy, but did not experience it as before. Restore because of his sin, as we learn in Psalm 51. When you trust something else than God, when we lose our contentment in God, when you stop listening to God, and maybe that is why you are living a joyless life. Because of your sin that grieves the Holy Spirit. Because of your sin that interrupts the exercise of faith and wounds your conscience. And sometimes lose the sense of God's favor. And yet the Lord preserved the works of his hands. So we begin this service this morning. And so David's words, by grace, become your words. Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Nothing else can satisfy. But the joy of his presence. The joy of his salvation. And congregation, it is not only available, but it is offered freely, generously, graciously this morning. And that brings us to our third point. When joy is received. We read in Romans, beginning in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We continue in verse 10. If when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his death. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Rejoicing, because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have been justified by faith. Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because we were reconciled. We were saved. We have received atonement. And so, congregation, joy is a marker of a justified person. Joy is experienced. A lived experience when one is translated into spiritual life. When you are, let me say it simply, when you are converted. Yes, and for some that can be very sudden. And for others, it can be by a way of great terror of the Lord. Or in great calmness and an evangelical manner, that is, when Christ overwhelms your soul. When, so right one of the Puritans, when the sweetness of the gospel fills your soul, that you have no time to think upon your sins with terror. And in others, maybe also this morning, in our midst, the Lord works in a quiet manner. You see your sin. You hear the offer of the gospel. And you see Christ, who is altogether lovely. You turn to him. You take refuge in him. You look unto him. You long for him. You yearn for him, hungry and thirsty. Christ is precious to you. And you hear his voice. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. And that you say by grace, this is my beloved, this is my friend. But whatever way the Lord has with you, this is shared. Joy. Yes, in the beginning of conversion, sorrow and joy can be mixed. This mixture of sorrow over sin and joy in Christ. To have this taste of the bitterness of sin and the sweetness of Christ. And yet, the unspeakable, inexpressible goodness of the Lord gives joy. This undeserved, amazing wonder, enemies were reconciled. Sins are forgiven. And therefore, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement to cover your sins with his blood. It is forgiven and it is forgotten. His blood that cleanses of all your sins. This wonder that Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly is godless, to be destitute of a reverential childlike fear of God. This amazing wonder of undeserved grace. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Your sins, lamentable failures and faults, so that you can testify by his grace, here in the death of Christ I live. This joy, he for me. That is a joy that passes all understanding. This joy in Christ, as the Apostle Peter says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though you now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This joy is also experienced in that continuing work of grace, in serving the Lord with fear that is a childlike fear, and rejoice in trembling, so said the psalmist in Psalm 2. In times of repentance, Christ says that repentance brings joy. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. When was it the last time that there was joy in heaven over you? Yet, but someone says, but my sin. Now, on this, a 17th century pastor wrote, falling into sin motivates the believer not to remain there, but to arise again and cheerfully to persevere, as it always affords free access to the throne of grace. As the apostle said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And therefore, the pastor goes on, do not condemn yourself if Christ justifies you. To do so would be to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. This would be a despising of the merits of Christ. To do this would be to bring anguish upon yourself, since the Lord does not cause your grief. This would be an unnecessary loss of joy. Congregation, let us always remember Christ's work is a complete and finished work. And he offers that freely, generously, and graciously. It is a free gift. So the apostle said in verse 15, this grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And therefore he invites, come unto me. Maybe you who are burdened with sin, or laden with anxieties and worries, or distressed with cares and concerns, or troubled with sorrows, or having a joyless life, come to me. And I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Joy. And therefore, nothing needs to be added. Nothing should be added. And nothing can be added. Is that your joy? Christ and him alone. So that you also can say, we also, O wonder of grace, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the center of my joy. Then you begin to understand what the psalmist said. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Congregation, we have seen what joy is in Scripture, why we need joy, and when we receive joy. Which brings us by our last point, how to live with joy. And congregation, moral reformation comes by looking at the rules and conforming to it. But a spiritual transformation comes from looking to Christ. This looking, this standing, at times gazing and meditating in awe and wonder of undeserved grace, mercy, and forgiveness. This wonder, as verse 1 of Romans 5 begins, despite who I was, my past, despite who I am, my present, this amazing, undeserved wonder, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. And therefore we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That is the apostles' joy. The apostles rejoicing, reflecting and meditating on what Christ has done and who he is. He's not making a whole list of what to do and not to do, or how to live a joyful life. But it is as the psalmist says in 43, then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. What Christ has done, that only sacrifice, sufficient for the sins of the whole world, sufficient for your and my sin. To experience, not only for others, but also for me. This joy, this lived experience, looking to Jesus, the altar and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was beset before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking to him. That is first and foremost how to live with joy in your life. To meditate, to reflect, to consider that first and often and daily. On Christ, his suffering and death, who endured with patience, perseveringly the cross, when he hanged there and said, "Father, forgive them, so that you can be forgiven for his sake." Who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So that you are never forsaken by him. Who cried out, "I thirst," so that you, with joy, may draw of the well of salvation. Where he was despised, disdained the shame, disgraced. And for who? Meditate, reflect also on that every day. You did not deserve anything. And yet God gave everything that he had. His Son, who exchanged glory and joy which he had with the Father before the world was. And he accepted the cross and the blame and the wrath of God over your sins. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, though he was rich. But for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Oh, congregation, thinking on that, it humbles, but it also shapes your life with a deep and a lasting joy. And you long for more. Christ endured this all for the joy that was set before him. For the joy for each of his children, for their sake, for their salvation, for their situation they are in. Even now, his heart was set on them. What then are your trials to his agonies? What are your struggles compared to his sufferings? He endured all the suffering for the joy that was set before him. Meditate on Christ, on the living and risen Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, where he continues and cares there for your interest, where he is your advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven, where he pleads and intercedes for each of his children, even now. And where he prepares a place for them. Does that not give you joy? Does that not give perspective in life? This knowledge, not only what he has done for you by grace, but what he still does and what he will do. And therefore, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Yes, maybe your challenging circumstances now and your current difficulties are not changing materially or physically, but having this unspeakable joy. By hearing or reading his word, even in the most difficult moments of your life. It is like with Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who experiences, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was in me, the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That can happen in the midst of sadness and sorrows. When we are stressed and confused and don't know where to go or what to do, we still can be joyful, knowing that the Lord is in control. Even when we are sad or upset or worried, we still can have joy. And not just any joy, but joy in the Lord. Joy that He knows who we are, where we are, what circumstances we are in, even when things are not going our way. And young people, instead of always trying to be happy, let us be joyful. It produces better results than happiness. A God-given joy is happiness with gratitude. James, in chapter 1, can even say, my brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. Or as the apostle says in our text chapter, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because God is not ashamed to be called their God. And that gives at times such a joy, but also such a longing on this founded hope, this certain hope. Then your heart will rejoice with an everlasting joy already now, though not fully. The best is yet to come. And therefore, before I close, I leave you this morning with three considerations. First, if there are among us, if you still think you do not need this joy, or you think, that cannot be for me, this joy in the Lord, this joy of salvation, the invitation comes to you. In particular this morning, don't continue to harden your heart. You have heard His voice through His word. Bow down. Kneel before the Lord your Maker. Don't delay any longer. Why would the Lord grieve over you more? Come before Him this day and worship Him with joy. Experience this joy in your life. Secondly, many of us here may attend by God's grace the Lord's table, so recently administered. Congregation, are we a joyful community? So rich for Christ's sake. And then living in a sorrowful poverty? Joyless? Are we that joyful people, inviting those around us, come and see, and taste, and see that the Lord is good? He is our hope. He is our joy. And third, then you know by grace of this joy in your life, these moments of true joy. It is like road signs on the way home. And these signs can be an encouragement on the way. But it is not home. And when you are lost in the woods and you see a marker of direction, a road sign, it is a moment of surprise and gives hope. And the first time that you see and you look at it and there is a sense of joy, you say, look. But when you are on the road and passing other road signs as you go on, you usually don't stop and stare at them. You are on your way home. Road signs are but a taste of what is to come. And so, when you have been placed on the way of life, it's God's grace. With the apostle being justified, you are on your way home, that heavenly home. And the road signs, also of this morning, reminding you of the joy in God, the joy in Christ, this rejoicing of who God in Christ is, for such one as you are, is but a taste of home. This joy, you were persuaded, you embraced it, but we will not stop and stare, though it often is done. And certainly, we can go back where you came from. You can't. You have tasted heaven, heavenly joy. And therefore you confess that you are a stranger and a pilgrim on earth. You declare to seek a country. And so these words that the Lord left us this morning, that they are an encouragement. We are thankful to the Lord who have set up those road signs, those reminders of this aspect of the Christian life, this reminder of joy, the joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They were given this morning on our way home. Home. When you don't say anymore with the psalmist, save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. Home is when all suffering will be gone. When all anxiety and worry is over. When all disappointments and discouragement are behind. Home is when we will see him as he is. And say, as C.S. Lewis wrote, I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking and longing for all my life, though I never knew it until now. Oh, what a joyful day that will be. Delivered from self and sin. That joyful day when the ransom of the Lord shall return and come. That is certain. To Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, how great is his goodness, which he has laid up for you who fear him. To be in his presence is fullness of joy, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will grant a blessing upon thy word. Will grant that joy in our life, in thee, for Christ's sake. That also this week that lies before us, that we truly may taste and see that the Lord is good. To be in his presence is a fullness of joy. Be with us the furnace of this day. Grant the blessing upon thy word this night. And that for Christ's sake alone. Amen.